I did two teachings on it, and then we had the water baptism, and then we had the church picnic, and then we had the women's retreat, and then we had the women's retreat testimony. So it's been 4 weeks since we did this. So I am going to kind of go back over what I was teaching to just kind of get us in the vein of where we're going. So if remember, we talked about the fact that you were his before you were anybody else's. Okay, and that is so important to understand because before you were even in your mother's womb, you were his. Before you were a child, before you were a brother or sister, before you were a friend, before you were a student, before you were a husband or wife or a girlfriend or boyfriend, before you were a parent, before you were any of those things, you were his. And so this is important for us to understand because he's the one who created us, he's the one who defines us, he's the one who knows the giftings and callings, the purpose he has for us. He's the one who loves us perfectly and knows us perfectly. And so you are so important to him that when he looked at eternity, the idea of you not being in eternity with him was so devastating to him that he was willing to come and die so that you could be born again, so that you could have be restored back to a relationship with him. So this is how important you are to God. This is how valuable you are. We always know value by the price paid, and the price paid was Jesus. Right? And so it's important for us to understand that this is the one we want to get to know. And this is the one your life is connected to his voice. And so it's important for us to be able to recognize and hear his voice. We know that he has good plans for us. We know that he has really good plans for us, right? I also talked about the fact that when I say voice, I use it in a very generic sense because he communicates to us in a multitude of ways. So we use the word voice in a very wide way because it might not be speaking, and we'll talk more about the ways he communicates other than just like a speaking voice, but it can be an intuition, a feeling, a thought. It can be, you know, a host of different ways that he communicates. So when we use the word voice, I use it in a very general, widespread way. We talked about kind of tuning into like an FM, AM station, right? That he's like a station that we need to tune into. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, that when we talked about the religious in John chapter 5, how they knew the Torah, the Old Testament, backwards and forwards, right? They had it all memorized. And yet Jesus said to them, you know the scriptures and you think in them you have eternal life. In other words, if you think because you know the scriptures that someday you're going to go to heaven. But he says, but these are they which testify of me, but yet you're not willing to come to me. So all of the Bible is crucial for us to know it, but all of the Bible is pointing to a person of Jesus Christ. Okay, and so so even though they knew the scriptures really well, they still didn't recognize Jesus. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you know, you could look at the menu, you could look at all the ingredients used, you could even study out how the chefs prepare the meal. But until you taste the meal, you're really not an expert, right? You can have opinions on it, but you're not an expert because you haven't experienced it. It's the same thing with Jesus. You can tell all the stories. You know, you can even know the scriptures. You can know when someone's sick to say, by his stripes you're healed. But until you have a relationship with him, until you come into understanding him and knowing him, those are words on a page. And we're all in the process of that becoming more and more real to us. So there's no condemnation. You know, because we're all on the journey of that, of getting to know him and having the scripture become real to us. But there's a danger in saying, I know the scriptures, therefore I know Jesus. Right. Because you can know the scriptures and still not know the author of the scriptures. That's an investment. It takes time. It takes investment. It takes a heart towards him to really grow in that. Okay? So that's the importance of why we want to actually set aside a time and a place to be with him. So I had talked about, you know, setting at least a time of the day that works for you. It can be morning, it can be evening, it may be when you go for a walk. Whatever way it is for you to start is what's important. If you haven't already started and if you are already in the journey to expand it, right? But it's about coming to invest time, set time aside for investing with the Lord. And I like to use the word investing instead of spending. Because when you spend money, you walk away with less. But when you invest it right, and Jesus is a good investment, you always walk away with more. So it's investing time in him. So it's setting the time aside that's your time with the Lord, and then it's also, if you can, setting a place aside, because it's just, it kind of says to your flesh when you go to that place, oh, this is what we do here. Right? I know when I go and sit in my chair, like that's my time with the Lord. And so even your flesh kind of knows that that's what's happening when you go to a place. So if you can do that, great. If you can't, at least set aside the time. That's important. And remember that he's inside of you. If you're born again, he's inside of you, right? So I love to worship and point my hands up, right? But I also know when I'm praying, like he's right in here. Like the prayers don't have to go very far. They're right here. So we're praying. The other thing we talked about is that when we come to know the Lord and we learn to listen to him, you'll also find your own voice in that. The real voice, that, you know, because we grow up and we're, especially if you weren't in a home that taught you about the Lord and hearing his voice and that you have a destiny and purpose in that, then you get very caught up in what the world is saying, maybe what your family's saying, what commercials are saying, what TV is saying. So all of that begins to define you and your voice gets drowned out. And so when we actually get quiet enough to hear the Lord, you'll also come to a place that you can actually hear your own heart and know what it really is that you were created for. It'll resonate. It'll ring true for you. And so that's an important part of the journey, is getting to hear his voice, but also learning to hear your own voice in that. So then I talked about how the mechanics of this is, mechanics isn't the right way, but the right term, but it's just how to set this time up. So first of all, what things that I do. So when I first have set my time aside with the Lord, I usually start out with some type of a worship song, a couple of worship songs, and just really put my focus on him and start worshiping. You could start praying in tongues. Maybe you have a devotional that really speaks to you. But it's just when you first set aside that time, what are you going to do to try and really get yourself focused and detached from, you know, because you wake up in the morning and your mind starts going in a bunch of directions, or even during the day if you've been really busy all day, like trying to get your mind to settle down and say, okay, like this is what we're going to do now. So worship is good, praying in the spirit is good, reading a devotional, whatever it is. Reading the Bible is essential. I mean, I know one thing God absolutely wants from you is he wants you to know his word. He wants you to know his word. So reading the Bible is good. To have a Bible reading plan is great. And in addition to that, you need to allow the Lord to direct you in that, because you can have certain scriptures that you're reading and he may tell you to stop there and camp on a certain scripture. We talk about that as like a burning bush. When Moses stopped and turned, that's when God spoke to him. If Moses had kept, even though Moses saw the burning bush, if he had kept on walking, he never would have heard God's voice. But it's when he stopped and turned and he paid attention to it that God spoke to him. So it's the same thing for us. When you're reading through the scripture and a certain scripture seems to be highlighted or a certain passage, it's important to stop and meditate on that. The Lord may give you that scripture for the day. Maybe he wants you to meditate on that scripture for the day. He's going to speak to you through that. Then I also talked about, you know, that you can do a word study, you can do a book study, you can do a passage study, a topic study. Having different versions of the Bible is good to use, because it'll help you expand the scripture for you as well by having different versions. So those are all different tools to help you in growing in your relationship with the Lord. Be intentional. Meditate on the word. Personalize scripture. Take scriptures just like we do declarations here. It's important for you to do declarations yourself as well. In your time, I have certain declarations the Lord's given me, and almost every day I go through and I'll speak those out loud. There's power in your voice, so speaking the declarations out loud. There's power in us because we create with our voice, so it's important to be able to speak it out loud. And then, too, we talked about imagination. We talked about the one scripture with where Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And the power of just imagining, if you just, I don't know if anybody did that, but just took that one scripture I had suggested and just meditate on that. And throughout the day, envisioning yourself with rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. And if you, just think about the difference there would be in your life if that was your default thought.
if throughout the day, instead of our mind just going here and there, if we can train our minds to come back to one particular scripture, one particular thought, out of my belly flows rivers of living water. You know, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Going back to like a default scripture, you can train yourself to start doing that, and that has power, because the word has power, right, to bring us back into that. So today, excuse me, so that was kind of going over what we've already talked about. Again, I wanted to get you kind of in the thought process of what we're of where we're going. So today, excuse me, I wanted to talk about determining, I think one thing that keeps people from investing time with the Lord who are just starting out is because when they sit down, the enemy takes advantage of that and starts talking negative things to them, and so it actually becomes scary or burdensome, and so people stay away from it because the enemy uses that time to bring accusation, condemnation. I want to talk about that. First of all, in 1 John 4:1-4, John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So now John's talking about the fact that there's prophets out there that are speaking against Jesus, saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. And this was Gnosticism at the time. And so he's saying, listen, that's the Antichrist spirit. And any prophets or anyone who's declaring the word of God, but yet claiming to declare the word of God, and yet saying that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh, we know that's an Antichrist spirit, and we know not to listen to that. But I would say it's also important, just even in our personal time, to be able to recognize whose voice is talking. So, like I said, a lot of times when people sit alone, what happens is the enemy. Either it's your flesh, because you've just been trained to think negative things, or it's actually the enemy there telling you you're guilty. You're no good. How do you think even believe you're a Christian? What, you know, you did this yesterday or you did this morning, and who do you think you are? And God's not happy about you. And just going on and on with negative accusations and condemnation and guilt and shame. And so people don't want to hear that stuff, and they don't know what to do about it. And so it's just better to stay busy than to actually sit still, because all that stuff starts coming up. Now, we need to know that that's never God. That is never God. Okay? Guilt says I'm not forgiven. Condemnation says I'm worthy of judgment. And shame says that's still who I am, whatever I'm thinking about. That's never the Lord. You know, the enemy, when he's talking, he's going to put you under oppression. He's going to bring confusion. He's going to bring fear. Okay? But when God speaks to you, even if God is correcting you, he's always going to correct you towards who you are. In other words, if there's something that, you know, maybe you got angry at somebody, right? And you're feeling bad about that. Well, first of all, that God's not going to condemn you for that. He's just going to remind you that what you really have is the fruit of the Spirit. You have love, joy, peace, that you're righteous, that you stand before him as righteous, that his love for you is still towards you, and he understands the situation, and he's going to inspire you to live at a higher level than you are living. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to realize that when we're in those quiet times, and I can remember this very clearly. I was sitting in my room, and I just was sitting there, and I was thinking about, you know, how I wasn't happy with myself, and how, you know, this is the goal, and I'm way down here, and how am I going to get up there, and I messed up again, and just going through all the negative stuff. And literally across the room, I heard, shh. And it was like the Holy Spirit was there, and he came, and it was like, that is not my voice. That is not my voice. And it just overwhelmed with his presence, and just reminding me that he's always speaking love to me. He's always speaking, his voice will always inspire you.
It will show you maybe, you know, where you're struggling, but it's always going to inspire you to the greater things that you already are in Him. He's always going to assure you of your security in Him, your identity in Him, the truth of who you are in Him. He's always going to bring you higher. Because that's the nature of our God. Jesus took all of the sin, condemnation, guilt, and shame on Himself at the cross. There is no more for us, right? Romans 8:1. Right. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That all that was put on Jesus. And so for us to walk in Him, we walk in the truth of who we are. And the Holy Spirit is always going to remind you of that. So when you sit down with the Lord, and even if you're reading Scripture, if you're feeling guilty and condemned reading Scripture, you're not hearing the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If you're feeling judged, if you're feeling alienated from God, if you're feeling separated from God, that is not the Holy Spirit ministering to you. Okay? So it becomes important to us because sometimes it's just a matter of us renewing our minds to the truth of who we are. Okay? But there's sometimes, too, where you need to take authority over that thing. Right? That there's times where it's actually a spiritual presence, and you need to understand that that's what's going on. If you know, people who struggle with depression and anger, and even if someone deals with lust or something like that, when that stuff starts coming up, if it's a habitual thing where it keeps coming up over and over again, you need to take authority over that thing. You need to recognize what it is. It's the enemy trying to steer you in the wrong direction. You need to repent. As far as I fall out of agreement with you. I do not agree with that lie. I take authority over that thing, and I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Right? And so there's times when you're with the Lord that you need to do some spiritual warfare because you've got something attacking you. And it has no authority. And as long as you sit there and not take your authority, it's just going to blab away. But you can command that thing to leave in the name of Jesus. Okay? So, again, first of all, we want to take every thought captive. But I'm talking about something that just keeps oppressing you, like people who deal with depression. Right? It just keeps coming on them. There's a heaviness on them. Right? You need to take authority over that and command that thing to leave. Command fear to leave. Because that is not who you are. So there's warfare to be done there. Now, I mean, the Lord spoke to me years ago because we had, Randy and I got saved in a ministry that was a deliverance ministry, which is what we needed. But when I went to that ministry, I was in a mindset of being very afraid of chemicals. And so I was always very aware of what chemicals were around me because I reacted to chemicals and I became fearful of that and was very conscious of that. Well, when I went through the deliverance ministry, it almost replaced chemicals with demons. And now you're concerned about what demon you're participating with, right? And I was like, okay, that's not the Lord either, right? Because I was just concerned with something different. There was just a transference. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Melissa, the highest form of spiritual warfare is intimacy with me. And what He was telling me is, listen, just keep your mind on me, your heart on me, your focus on me, right? And I tell you, if you're worshiping Jesus, demons don't want to be around. So that's the highest form of spiritual warfare. And that's where our focus needs to be 99.99999% of the time, okay? But if something comes up and you're having trouble getting victory over it, you need to take, that's the time to take authority and command that thing to leave. Okay? Okay. Because I saw that happen way too many times. And I was like, Lord, I'm more concerned about demons now than I was chemicals, but it's just a changing of focuses. So again, so His correction always inspires and empowers. Condemnation will always condemn and disempower. So we recognize what's going on, we repent, we renounce it, we replace it with what's going on, and we restore truth. And again, intimacy with Him is the highest form of spiritual warfare. The other thing is unforgiveness. If you have something, as someone who keeps coming up in your heart as you're investing time with the Lord, if a situation keeps coming up that you've maybe harboring hard feelings about, you have issues with, again, take the time to really, with the Lord, forgive that person. Right? To really, if it keeps coming up, there's probably an issue there. And you just sit and you ask Him to help you forgive or whatever that is. And the number one thing, too, is learning how to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Learning how to forgive yourself. Because that can be a big barrier between you and the Lord, because you haven't really forgiven yourself and gotten clear of your past and let things go. And so really taking the time to let things go that way. Okay, the next thing I wanted to talk about is getting outside the box with God. Because God's always speaking, but not just through his word. And, you know, I love to think about the fact that God gives God winks throughout the day. If you're focused on him, he will speak to you in a multitude of ways. And that's why I say when I use voice, I use it in very general terms, in very wide terms. So if we go to Acts chapter 2, this is when, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the disciples were together in one accord, and the Lord had told them to wait to receive power from on high, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up, right? And they all get baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's tongues of fire. They all start praying in tongues. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 6, it says, when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? I love this because here we have a situation where we have all these, they're all baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're all speaking in different tongues. And yet the people that are there from all different countries, all different backgrounds, all different languages, are hearing the disciples praying in tongues as though they were speaking in their language. Okay? Now, if God can take the language of the tongues and interpret it in such a way that those people can hear it in the way they need to hear it, and what were they proclaiming? The wonderful works of God. But God, the Holy Spirit was translating that so that the people there were able to hear it in their own language. So in other words, God knew what language each person spoke and was able to take what the disciples were doing and change it so that they could hear. Now, if that's what our God can do with that situation, how much more can he take things to every single person and translate it in a way that they can hear, that they can receive? That's how big our God is. And so it's important for us as we go throughout our day to understand that God can speak to you through a multitude of ways. One of the things that the Lord does with me is the clock. Okay? You can look at a clock, and as you begin to learn scripture, the Lord can give you kind of a God wink when you look at the clock. So for example, if I see 4:20, it makes me think of Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Of course, he's saying my daughter, but but when I see 4:20, it points me to that scripture, and to me, it's like the Lord's talking to me. When I see 10:10, it makes me think of John 10:10, right? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So again, it's a God wink. When I see 10:10 on the clock, I know that it's God just reminding me that he's present, reminding me that he's good. He's the author of good things. He doesn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to bless and give. If I see Hebrews 11:11, if I see 11:11, it makes me think of this verse, Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. I'm not believing for that part. because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's the part of that verse that I go to. right? But when I see that verse, 11:11, it just makes me remember that what he's promised me, he's faithful to complete.
Right.
He has not promised me conception. Praise the Lord. when I see 8:11, it makes me think of Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So this is the good part of really understanding scripture yourself, because when you see different times on the scripture, it can be the Lord pointing to a scripture. It's different times on the clock. It can be the Lord pointing to particular scriptures for you. Again, just to give you a God wink, just for him to say, hey, I'm here, I'm present, I'm talking to you. We're communicating. Okay. Now, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you notice what time it is, I would write it down. Because I've had the Lord wake me up in the middle of the night speaking a scripture to me. like out loud hearing a scripture and being like, oh, I'll remember in the morning. You won't remember it in the morning. I promise. So write it down. Write it down or get up, because there can be, these are particular times he's pointing to scripture for you. So this is a powerful thing. There was quite a time that I went through where I kept seeing 444 on the clock. And so I had looked it up and came up with Isaiah, a passage in Isaiah 44, which is verses 3 through 5, says, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call," excuse me, "call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel." So when he would point that script, when I would see 444, I would think of this scripture. But I kept seeing it over and over and over again. And a lot of times, if you're seeing something over and over and over, it's because you haven't gotten what he's trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. And so he's just showing it to you again and again and again. So finally, I was actually reading Lana Vosser's book, and she pointed to Ezekiel 44:4. And it, like, when I saw that, my spirit jumped. And Ezekiel 44:4 says, "And he brought me by the way of the north gate to the front of the temple. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face." And I knew that's what the Lord was speaking to me for the church. And that's why he kept showing me this. And so once I recognized that that's what he was trying to communicate to me, because that was what I believe he's doing in this church and will continue to do in this church, it's like I stopped seeing it. Now I see it once in a while, but I don't see it all the time. And it's because the Lord finally got through to me what he was trying to say to me. So this is what I mean. Like, if you begin to look for him in so many ways, if you think about Jesus, he used nature, he used the circumstances and nature to communicate to us spiritual truths. Why did Jesus talk about like seed, time, and harvest? Well, I believe it's because the Father talked to Jesus through nature. Like, I believe the Father was teaching Jesus about the Word by teaching him about sowing and reaping. I don't think he just came up with those or just was inspired. I believe those were truths that the Father had sown into his heart over time. When he talked about like the unjust steward and good kings and bad kings and money, the parables he used about money and the fields, those were all things he used to communicate. He used natural things to communicate spiritual truths to us. And again, I believe it's because that's the way the Father communicated to him as well. He was sharing with us. He was opening us up to us his personal relationship with the Father and how the Father had explained things to him. And so if Jesus was using nature and all of those things and natural things to show spiritual truths, he's still speaking through those things now. Right? We can still, like, fall's coming. And so I just started meditating about fall and just thinking about how in our lives, like, there's a transition time where things that may have had life, are diminishing. Like, we need to follow the Holy Spirit. So there's times to let things go, right? Just like the trees let things go. And then there might be a time that appears dormant, where the trees don't have anything on them, and yet during that time, what's happening? The roots are getting strengthened. There's nourishment coming. There's preparation for spring. There's preparation for new growth. It's just like the cocoon and the butterfly, right? The cocoon wraps up, and it looks like death to the caterpillar, and yet what comes out of that is life of a butterfly. And so we can look at nature, and if we just tune into the Lord as we look at nature, the Lord can speak to us about what he wants to communicate with us through that. So again, it's being aware of his voice all day, every day. And even during the day, just saying, "Lord, what are you saying to me right now?" He'll speak to you. He'll speak. So it doesn't just have to be your time that you're put aside, but training yourself to ask him what he's saying. If you see things like, for example, a butterfly, there's this book that I use. It comes recommended by people that I trust. It's called God's Prophetic Symbolism in Everyday Life. And so if you see different things, you can look up the meaning, and this is based on the Bible. So for example, if you were to see butterflies, all of a sudden you notice a butterfly in your garden, someone sends you an envelope with a butterfly on it, you go to a store and you see a butterfly in somebody's car, all of a sudden you're seeing butterflies. So you can come to a book like this. I mean, first of all, you can just ask the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Okay, so number one, just ask him and he can tell you. But if you're stumped or it's not making sense to you or it's something you're unfamiliar with, there are books like these you can go to. And so what does butterfly mean? New creation, believer, a glorified heavenly body, being in the spirit, changed, no longer a caterpillar, no longer earthbound, glorified through death. So these are different things that you can go to this book and read it and be like, okay, well, this is now what I think the Lord is trying to say to me. So again, you can... like looking at what's happening throughout your day and realizing that God is giving you God winks. He wants to communicate to you all day long. And he will use circumstances and nature to communicate things with that. I tell a beautiful story about Beth. She shared this with me and I thought this was so great. She was driving down the road. I may have shared this before, but she was driving down the road and there was a turtle in the middle of the road and he had his legs out and he had his head up and so she stopped the car and she goes, look, he's glorifying God. And she picked him up and she put him off to the side, right? And I thought that was so beautiful because me, I would have just been like, stupid turtle, I need to work my way and just you're in my way and just keep moving on. But she just saw in that God, that the turtle was glorifying God, right? So this is the way I just love that picture, right? So we can look at things like, God, what are you saying? What are you communicating to me about this, you know? Children are a great voice for the Lord, right? They'll say things and like all of a sudden, like you're just like, oh, that was the Holy Spirit speaking. your wife especially. music and songs the Lord can speak with through signs. You may even just walking into a store, you may see a sign on the door, and you can ask the Holy Spirit, and the Lord can just quicken something to you. Obviously, he speaks through books, through YouTube. He can a newspaper headline you can see, a license plate. He can speak to you through license plates. He can speak to you through movies. For example, like a lot of people saw the Lord in the Matrix movie. Okay, that was really talking about the two realities. Marvel movies. I want to tell you about the Lord speaking to me through a movie. How many of you have seen the movie Taken with Liam Neeson in it? Okay, so I had never seen that movie years ago when I was in Bible college. We had a ladies' night and someone brought that movie over and we were watching it. So in the movie, Liam Neeson has a daughter. He's divorced from his wife, and his daughter is with his wife and her stepdad, and they're wealthy. And she's graduating from either high school or college. And as a gift, they give her and her her best friend a trip to Europe. Well, the two of them go over to Europe, and they get abducted for sex trafficking right at the airport. They get into a cab and get abducted. And so Liam Neeson, who's like Mr. FBI, you know, CIA, Secret Service, whatever guy, I mean, he does it all. He finds out, and so he's on a jet, right? He's over to Europe, and he's going through everything trying to find her. He's tracking things down. He's going into dangerous meetings. He's spying over here. He's being shot at. He's shotting at people. He's jumping out of cars. He's jumping onto the tops of trains. He's jumping out of windows. I mean, he's just like all this stuff he's doing, right? And so finally, the last minute, when she's about to be sold, he breaks into the room, he gets her, and he takes her back home. And so the last scene, they're standing in California, and the mom and stepdad are there with the daughter, and she's got her ponytail swaying, and here's Liam Neeson, and she's like, oh, thank you so much, yeah, thank you so much, and they start walking away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they have no idea what this man went through to save her. And the Lord spoke to me as clear as day, and he says, and you have no idea what I went through to save you. And it was like, oh my gosh. Like, that is so true. We have no idea what he went through to save us. I mean, he Like what? And we, so we can take our salvation like, so, oh yeah, I'm saved. No, someone paid a huge price for us to be saved. A huge price. And then he just spoke so clearly to me through that movie. And that's what I mean. He can when we have our minds and hearts set on him, he can speak to us in so many ways and communicate to us the beauty of who he sees as us. He's always communicating his love for us and all that he's done for us. So it's so important to just understand that he speaks in so many ways. Our son was one day, he was mowing the lawn. Not our lawn. It's his own lawn. His adult son. He's mowing his lawn. And he was listening to a radio station. It was a worldly radio station, but they had a song on there about God. And he heard it. And he had already been born again, but he wasn't following the Lord because he'd gotten distracted and disappointed. And through hearing that song, all of a sudden, God spoke to him, and he turned his life around like 180 degrees and just started following Jesus. This was listening to a secular radio station. I know we had a gentleman in a Bible college with us that his dad had come to Bible college, and he was home. He was young, in his early 20s. And he was watching the presidential debates between John Kerry and George Bush. And he said when he was watching that, the Lord made it so like so clear to him that there were two kingdoms, and one was the kingdom of light was Jesus. And he turned everything over, and he moved to Colorado to go to Bible college. So God spoke to him through a presidential debate. Okay? So I say that to say that even for people who are worried about your children and are they going to follow Jesus, God is so much bigger than even our prayers. But it's important for us to pray, but it is not your burden to carry.
That's right.
It is not your burden to carry. Jesus wants them saved and following him even more than you do. And he can speak through so many ways. And we just, yes, do we pray? Yes, we pray it, but we give it over to the Lord and let him work his miraculous ways, because he speaks. There is nothing that limits him from communicating to people. He can get through to them. Yeah, I was speaking to someone earlier, a couple of weeks ago, and this person has had a lot of biblical teaching, the word she used is that there was plexiglass in front of her, right? And she couldn't, because she had had so many negative experiences with the Bible and religion, that she wants to know God, but that there's this wall up, and she realizes that, but she doesn't know how to get through. And I said to her, listen, you just need to look for the pinhole. You just need to look for the pinhole. Because the word, you know, and it was like, where are you willing to meet God? Okay, maybe you won't read the Bible, but will you read this book about the Bible? Will you listen to this YouTube video? Can I get you in this way? Right? Because just that little tiny thing, remember we're talking about seed that grows and leaven that expands. And so even if you have just a little pinhole, right, and the Lord can get some seed through that, or he can get some leaven through that, it will start multiplying. It will start growing. So whatever way the Lord can get to people, we need to let him meet them there. And understand that we can't be so rigid. Does he want us to know the word? Absolutely. Like, that is the most important book for us to know. And we need to know that he can talk through other ways to communicate with people to bring them to him. He is not limited. And he wants people so badly, so strongly, that he's willing to work through whatever ways he can to bring people into his presence and into relationship with him. And for us, he's willing to speak in so many different ways to give us God wings throughout the day, to communicate with us, to hear his voice, to hear his heart towards us, to bring us into a closer relationship. So don't just limit it to when you're sitting in your room. He is speaking all day long. He's winking at you. He's talking to you. And we just have to have ears to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for just all that you do, for all the ways that you communicate with us, Lord. And Lord, we just open our eyes and ears to hear, and hearts to be able to hear you in greater ways. Lord, we thank you for being able to see the way that you're winking at us throughout the day, the way you're ministering to us. And Lord, we pray that we just keep our minds towards you so we can minister towards you. And we thank you, Lord, for the people that are loved ones on, that are on heart. Lord, we know that you are working towards, you're working your best to minister to them and bring them into the kingdom and bring them into a deeper relationship. So Lord, we lift them up in prayer, but then we cast our cares on you because you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.